Iran's President Raisi signs a comprehensive long-term agreement with his Syrian counterpart in Damascus. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza says one person has been killed and five have been injured in Israeli airstrikes in the besieged strip before a truce. And Moscow speaking of thwarting a drone attack by Ukraine on the Kremlin aimed at killing President Putin.
Welcome to the studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us.
Iran's president is in Syria on an official visit aimed at boosting bilateral ties. Ibrahim Raisi has held talks with his Syrian counterpart, Bashar al-Assad, in the capital, Damascus. The two presidents signed a comprehensive long-term strategic cooperation agreement, including a memorandum of understanding on oil. During the meeting, Raisi hailed the strength and resistance of the Syrian nation for overcoming various problems despite Western sanctions and external pressure. Bashar al-Assad, for his part, said the two countries have been able to maintain their partnership regardless of political and security issues. Raisi is the first Iranian president paying an official visit to Syria in more than a decade.
Terror groups like Daesh, which were created by the U.S., did their utmost to cause chaos in the region through bloodshed and murder. Daesh and Takfiri groups committed many massacres and crimes. But the people of Syria, resistance groups in the region, President Assad himself, and his government showed great strength and stood against attacks and acts of aggression.
Raisi added that Syria's sovereignty and territorial integrity must be respected, and the Syrian government must have control over every inch of the country's soil. Iran has given its unwavering support for Syria since the beginning of the war there. It has also sent military advisors to the Arab nation at the request of the government. Tehran has also expressed readiness to help Syria with reconstruction efforts. The correspondent in Damascus, Mohammad Ali, has more details on the Iranian president's visit to Syria.
Both sides signed several memorandums of understanding. The first was signed by both presidents. It was the most important memorandum of understanding on a plan for cooperation, a long-term cooperation strategic plan between the two countries. Both presidents signed this particular memorandum of understanding. Following that signing, ministers from both countries also signed several memorandums of understandings in the agriculture, oil, communication, railways, aviation, earthquakes, and several other fields, actually. So definitely this is a historic visit. The boost in the economic cooperation between the two countries is unprecedented, perhaps, especially at this time following the successful military and the political cooperation during the past 11 or 12 years since the start of the crisis that resulted in defeating terrorism here inside Syria, of course, with the help of Iran, and also foiling the U.S. and Western plots. Also, both presidents actually following that signing gave a briefing about the talks that they had. For example, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad said that those agreements signed today, as well as the projects that were discussed between the two countries, will boost the relations between the two countries more and more. And this will thus reduce the effects of the sanctions imposed by the West and the United States on Syria.
Activist and political analyst John Busnish joined us earlier from Belgrade with his take on Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi's visit to Syria.
Well, a presidential visit is actually always the most important level contact that there can be in diplomacy. And so this is not just a working visit, but it's a political sign of solidarity with Syria at a time when Syria has managed to stabilize the crisis that America promoted in the region with the support of Israel. This is a very important visit. Obviously, this is a very good opportunity for both countries to build new markets because the trade level between the two countries has been hampered by the instability in Iraq and the ongoing destabilization of Syria itself by the American military presence. If Iran and Syria can make a serious initiative to raise trade ties, this can make a major difference to both countries because it will increase their international networking with others, friendly countries like Russia and China. So trade is the essential next step to developing a bigger infrastructure of support between the two countries.
The chairman of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, Masoud Shajara, joined us earlier and talked about according recognition to Syria as a key player in the region.
Well, it's very significant. As you said, really, this is established the sort of the victory for Syria, because Syria was becoming a victim of the plot or project of the West, which was unleashed in Iraq, it was unleashed in Libya and elsewhere, that, you know, bring chaos and destruction to nations in the region. And the West wasn't able to implement fully what they unleashed in Syria because of the support of Iran and indeed Russia and others. And the fact that now it's been totally established, as you said, Syria is being recognized yet again as a player in the region, and recognition by all the other regional countries, it's actually a victory for common sense, victory for preservation of Syria as an independent state, and victory for the region.
Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps has seized a foreign oil tanker in the country's territorial waters in the Strait of Hormuz. According to Tehran's public prosecutor, IRGC Navy seized the Panama-flagged vessel on a judicial order, following a complaint by a plaintiff. The U.S. Central Command published a video purportedly showing the seizure of the oil tanker Niovi. The footage is yet to be confirmed by Iranian authorities. It is the second such incident in a week. On Thursday, Iran's Navy seized a Marshall Island-flagged oil tanker in the Sea of Oman after it collided with an Iranian fishing craft. That collision left a number of crew injured and missing. The vessel attempted to flee the scene despite its obligation under international law to help. Pro-Israel lobby groups are pushing to muzzle Press TV by cracking down on its social media presence. U.S.-based organizations, the Center for Countering Digital Hate and the Anti-Defamation League, released a new report accusing Press TV of, quote, spreading dangerous anti-Semitism. The claims have been immediately seized upon by the pro-Israel lobby in the U.K., with a call to social media companies to restrict the channel even further. Amina Taylor has more from the British capital.
It has become a well-trodden political path, Press TV being attacked in the British Parliament. This time the mouthpiece was the vice chair of the Conservatives' Friends of Israel.
A shocking report into the online activities of Press TV, particularly their use of a video series called Palestine Declassified, which focuses its hatred on British Jews. Whilst Press TV may be banned from our airways, this foreign state hate operation is continuing online. Can we have a debate at some point on what more we can do to ensure that social media platforms tackle this outrageous content?
In the decade and a half since it was established, Press TV has found itself front and center of Western media attacks. But despite the pressure, the channel continues to advocate for the voiceless, chief amongst them, the Palestinians. The show at the heart of the latest onslaught is Palestine Declassified. Its host, former Labour MP Chris Williamson, gave his take on why the show was such a bone of contention for the pro-Israel lobby.
What we've seen here is a shameless attempt by the Israel lobby in the House of Parliament to whitewash Israel's criminality and lawlessness. And of course, they're very concerned about the fact that Palestine Declassified is shining a light into the murky corners of Israel's activities, and indeed on the lobby that seeks to avoid any criticism of their suppression of the Palestinian people. It's Palestine Declassified is, you know, very effective. It scrupulously researches all of the content that we put out. And obviously, you know, they're embarrassed by the truth that we are bringing to a wider public. And of course, you know, the traction that Palestine Declassified is now picking up, it's been suggested, reaching well over 11 million people now. So they're doing their damnedest now, it seems to me, to try and close down our success.
Chris has written a stern letter rebuking some of the smears parroted by Andrew Percy. As Palestinians continue to live under an oppressive regime, Press TV's fight to advocate for justice will see it targeted as part of Israel's campaign to close down anyone who stands up for the Palestinian cause, a move branded media terrorism. Amina Taylor, London.
Palestinian inmate Sheikh Khader Adnan has been martyred in an Israeli jail after nearly 3 months of a hunger strike over his illegal detention. Adnan was found unconscious in his cell on Tuesday morning. He went on a hunger strike on February the 5th. An Israeli court rejected another plea to release him on bail despite warnings about his health condition. The 45-year-old Palestinian was a senior member of the Islamic Jihad resistance movement in the occupied West Bank. His body has been taken to an Israeli hospital. The International Committee of the Red Cross is calling on Israel to release his body.
We offer our sincere condolences to the family and loved ones of Khader Adnan at this difficult time. We call on the Israeli authorities to release Mr. Adnan's body so his family can mourn and arrange a dignified burial according to their customs and beliefs.
Adnan is the 206th Palestinian deliberately murdered in Israeli detention centers. He was one of the nearly 5,000 Palestinians held in the regime's jails. Many are incarcerated under the so-called administrative detention mechanism, which is used to keep Palestinians behind bars indefinitely without any charge or trial.
It was his sixth hunger strike and the longest, which lasted for 87 consecutive days. Palestinian prisoner Sheikh Khader Adnan stubbornly resisted until his last breath, asking for his release he always obtained after every hunger strike against his illegal administrative detention by the Israeli authorities. This time, however, his hunger strike ended with his martyrdom in a cold cell in the Israeli prison of Ramli at dawn on Tuesday. Here in his hometown, Arabi, near the occupied Jenin, his wife spoke to the crowd who gathered outside their home to consolidate the family and his 9 children. They called for his revenge and also for all Palestinian prisoners languishing in Israeli jails.
I congratulate myself and my children for the martyrdom of Sheikh Khader. Now, after his death and all the sacrifices he made, we do not want a drop of his blood to be spilled. We will not wait for anyone to avenge my husband. His 9 children will keep his cause alive. And to the Israeli occupation, I say, remember the faces of my children well. By God, we have raised them with pride and dignity.
A general strike has been announced across the occupied West Bank in mourning for Sheikh Khader Adnan. Protests have been held in several areas, including Ramallah. Palestinian resistance groups have mourned what they described as the execution of the senior leader of the Islamic Jihad resistance movement, Khader Adnan. They say they hold the Israeli occupying regime fully responsible for Adnan's murder. Since 2004, Adnan had gone on 6 hunger strikes, drawing local and international attention. Not only did he become a spokesperson for the Islamic Jihad, but also a symbol for the cause of Palestinian prisoners. Meanwhile, several protests have been held in the occupied Ramallah in response to the Israeli murder of Sheikh Khader Adnan. The demonstrations turned violent in a number of areas, namely the cities of Arram, Al-Khalil, and Ramallah, with clashes erupting between Israeli soldiers and Palestinian protesters. Israeli forces fired at the crowds and a number of Palestinians were wounded. The Day of Rage will always be remembered as a day of honor and loyalty to Sheikh Khader Adnan, who is considered by many here as a national hero. Every time Sheikh Khader Adnan engaged in a hunger strike, he insisted that he will not end his action without achieving victory. His definition of victory was either getting released or being martyred. This time, he achieved victory by martyrdom. Palestinians also believe he was an iconic figure who succeeded in bringing another defeat to the Israeli regime. Mona Qandil, occupied Ramallah.
Palestinians have taken part in a funeral of a man who was killed during an Israeli airstrike on the Gaza Strip. Hashem Mubarak died as a brick flew from the bombed site near his home and hit its zinc ceiling last night. Airstrikes continued until the early hours of Wednesday before a ceasefire was reached between Tel Aviv and Palestinian resistance groups. The exchange of fire took place after Palestinian prisoner Khader Adnan, who was held in an Israeli jail, was martyred. Dozens of rockets were fired toward Israel from Gaza, retaliation for the martyrdom of Adnan, who went on a hunger strike to protest his detention without any charge or trial. The Islamic Jihad resistance movement said the attacks from Israel and Gaza have ended as the Egypt-mediated truce is being enforced. Russia has accused Ukraine of conducting a drone attack on the Kremlin in what it calls a failed attempt to kill President Vladimir Putin. The Kremlin says Russian defenses downed 2 UAVs during their overnight attack on Wednesday. described it as a planned terrorist action, adding that the president did not sustain any injuries. No damage was inflicted on the Kremlin premises either. Kyiv denies any involvement, but Russia says it reserves the right to take retaliatory measures. Also earlier, Moscow said it had arrested seven people working for Ukrainian intelligence in the Crimean port city of Sevastopol. Russia's Federal Security Service says the detainees were planning attacks in the Black Sea region. It also said that attacks against the Russian-installed governor and other officials there have been thwarted.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Bazaar.
The construction industry has continuously had a series of revolutions throughout history. Technological advancements have influenced the construction sector too, from durable concrete in ancient structures to smart windows that automatically open and close based on light exposure. Some materials evolved with time, others are new to the industry and address natural disasters while reflecting changing lifestyles and environmental values. Still, other materials are born out of a need to reduce construction costs. In a nutshell, structures and their materials are the building blocks of society and economic expansion.
Hello everyone, Ali Reza here, welcoming you to a brand new edition of Bazaar. This week, we are taking you on a journey through Iran's mammoth building construction industry while highlighting some of the country's recent developments in this sector. Plus, we will check out its market as a whole and the construction industry's contributions to the national economy. So, let's get started.
To understand the enormity of the construction industry, we visited the 22nd Annual International Building and Construction Exhibition in Tehran. Because the exhibition was sprawled over nearly 4 hectares of land, one day is not nearly enough for visitors to see the entire expo, so it ran for 3 days. This exhibition is one of the most important events in its industry. We caught up with a few companies at the exhibit to see what they were offering. Our first stop was at a booth held by a company that makes ceramic tiles. They also export their products to numerous countries. Next, we stopped by a company specializing in manufacturing faucets and kitchen and bathroom attachments. It also purchases most of its raw materials from inside the country. Like many we have seen at the event, this company has created many job opportunities directly and indirectly. Plus, it uses the latest machinery to make high-quality products that compete with foreign brands. Now, many might not think twice about it, but Iran's faucet and fixture production have been booming. So we spoke with another company that has been exporting these items for years.
Industry participants say this year's Building Expo was much larger than last year's, meaning that Iran's construction industry has expanded in recent years, displaying the country's various existing and emerging capabilities in the field. Statistics show that last year some 900 domestic companies participated in the event. Also, foreign companies were present, offering their goods and services.
This year's exhibit hosted hundreds of foreign companies from Germany, Australia, Turkey, China, Spain, Italy, South Korea, and Malaysia, just to name a few. A wealth of products were showcased at the expo, from road and construction equipment to stones, sanitary supplies, heating and cooling systems, lifts and elevators, and so much more. Rarely has any industry offered so much versatility and variety of products as the construction industry. Events like this one offer a platform for the exchange of ideas, examining markets and opportunities for collaboration to create new products needed in the market. Next, we stopped by a display for a company specializing in making various inset kitchen products. We asked them about their goods and approach to challenges posed by the US sanctions. Walking through the exhibit, we ran into a company that makes metal fittings for stairs, windows, and areas that require spatial separations. All things considered, the construction sector has been significant for the Iranian economy. The sector is divided into two main parts: government infrastructure projects and the housing industry. The construction industry has been thriving due to national and international investment to the extent that it is now one of the largest in the West Asia region. This sector suffered a lot after the US withdrew from the 2015 deal and reimposed sanctions against Iran. These measures choked construction materials imports. As a result, the steady flow of things like metals to Iran was seriously hampered and eventually halted altogether. But despite the bans, this industry continues to grow and is also one of the few that export services to other countries. Based on the Association of Iranian Exports of Technical and Engineering Services, Iran currently has the potential to export engineering services worth $40 billion annually. The country already exports these services to countries around the Caspian Sea, its bordering neighbors, South and Central America, North Africa, and South Asia. Some construction projects include sewage treatment plants, dams, and energy plants. According to the Ministry of Industry, Mining and Trade, Iran is self-sufficient in construction material production. Steel, glass, and cement are abundantly produced in the country. Moreover, the surplus of these items is exported to countries worldwide. Government officials say they have plans to expand exports to Iran's trade partners, including China and Russia. For example, the Ministry of Industry, Mine and Trade says it plans to sell upwards of $3 billion worth of construction materials to Russia alone. As a whole, the government views the construction sector as a feasible alternative for generating foreign revenues and diversifying the country's economy away from oil profits. Alright, now it's time to check out this week's special feature of Bazaar. So let's see where Sarah has been this past week.
In an ever-increasing technology-driven world, city streets are becoming more and more congested than ever before, while connected and autonomous technologies in vehicles are also on the rise. Such safety concerns pose a significant challenge for city planners and traffic engineers to improve mobility, safety, and efficient use of roadways now and in the future. When you are driving to work, or especially going on a road trip, you need to be fully alert to avoid the hidden cameras all across the road from catching you or costing you a damage. Well, sometimes this can be really irritating. But have you ever thought of the significant impacts they have in the most challenging situations? Today, we decided to take you to a company active in the field of intelligent transportation system in Sharif University of Technology. Let's go check it out. With Creating Intelligent Transportation Systems, the research and development team of the students in Sharif University of Technology has created a smart traffic software for processing related information. These smart systems are mounted beside or over the roads to detect motoring offenses, including speeding, vehicles going through a red traffic light, vehicles going through a toll booth without paying, or for recording vehicles inside a congestion charge area. All these violations are detected 24/7 using traffic data analysis system.
We as Kane Group started to work around 10 years ago here in Electronic Research Institute in Sharif University of Technology. Back then, our main expertise was focused on image processing and embedded systems and also IoT devices for smart cities and buildings. Our products are all knowledge-based and divide into three main categories. The first one is machine vision and embedded systems. The other part of the products are based on IoT or Internet of Things products. And the third one is the big data analysis and data mining. These products are all implemented on a secure and highly customized Linux operating system. Another line of our products are based on IoT devices, such as the smart gateways and actuators. We have exported these products to two foreign countries, and also the third line of our products are based on data mining and big data analysis. These softwares and products are mainly used in road maintenance and transportation organization and also some major municipality offices. These softwares help a lot in extracting useful patterns out of millions and billions data in traffic control centers and help managers and also managers and experts in traffic control sensors to extract practical and beneficial data from these smart cameras or sensors throughout the city.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, this intelligent software was created for the smart camera system. When it comes to cameras, we have various kinds of traffic enforcement cameras, such as speed violation detection camera, red light camera, road safety camera, and so many more for plate detection. But that's not all. This company also creates IoT devices or Internet of Things. These are intelligent gateway camera systems for buildings and image processing with the aim of providing a better living environment for people and reducing energy consumption. All right, now it's time to take a closer look at the smart camera system and see how it works. There are thousands of smart camera systems all across the country that actually function with the software created in this company. Now, let's take a look at one of the smart camera systems created in this company. Well, just like human, this smart system is created and is made of eyes. And if we delve inside, it's also made of a powerful brain. Well, the eye of this system is the industrial camera, which is created in different versions depending on the geographic location of the camera. For example, the one we have here has been created with a hardware design that protects against a heat wave. Anyway, this camera captures the images from the front side of this smart system and sends these images to the processing board, which functions as the brain part of this smart system. And finally, the data is transmitted from the intelligent software of the smart system to the traffic control centers all across the city.
The Connect Group was founded in some 8 years ago, I think. And the main focus of the group was on cutting-edge smart technologies. For example, in machine vision, machine learning, artificial intelligence, data analytics, Internet of Things, and stuff like that. Later on, we use these technologies in more specific areas, for example, in intelligent transportation systems and various aspects of smart cities, like smart buildings, smart automation. And we have other countries around us that they are interested in some of our products. Our main goal for the future is to actually connect all the intelligent aspects of the city together. For example, if you have something smart in a villa or in an apartment, we connect it to the road, we connect it to the work office and all these things all together for one brain actually to decide for the optimization and improvement of several aspects of these systems.
Employing the latest smart technologies as well as artificial intelligence, this company focuses on smart city and smart buildings, and ultimately, it aims at city management without human involvement. Presently, their products are available in almost 17 provinces in Iran. Traffic technologies continue to evolve and scale into solutions in mega cities. Finally, this paves the way to optimizing traffic flow and improving efficiency and safety on the roads. Well, there is no way to violate the traffic rules. The latest technologies in the modern world today, including the smart camera system, can detect and improve the wrong behaviors of drivers in the society. And by the end of the day, they can create a smarter, safer, and more sustainable transportation ecosystem. I've been Sarah Dema, and I'll see you next time.
We are getting close to the end of the program, but before we go, let's check out some news and trends in the construction industry and beyond. Iran is known for its creative experts in the field of engineering, so it is no surprise that last year the country exported technical and engineering services valued at nearly $2 billion.
That's based on Iran's Trade Promotion Organization. These services were sent to countries in Southeast Asia, North Africa, and neighboring regions. For example, 57 major infrastructural projects were carried out by dozens of Iranian companies in Iraq alone. Furthermore, the organization says with more planning and resources, the country can quickly increase exports of technical and engineering services to $20 million annually. In the last 15 years, Iran has taken on some 900 construction projects in 21 countries worth $32 billion.
Unconventional use of construction material. An Iranian architect has transformed a widely used construction material into a unique form of window. It is a type of spectacled brick that is a solid block with a circular aperture at its core which filters in the light.
The architect says the high density of buildings and city regulations in Tehran has limited sunlight exposure in office and commercial buildings. The developer explains the special brick in this project allows sunlight penetration even in parts of the building where windows are not permitted by city codes. Additionally, these unique windows can be adjusted to closed or open positions to optimize daylight exposure. The advantage of this brick is that it can absorb less air pollution and help filter out the noise from the motorways.
Increasing market reach. And let's conclude with Iran's efforts to expand its market reach and trade of goods with its neighbors. The country is organizing 6 exhibitions in the Qatari capital, Doha, that will be held during this year's FIFA World Cup event.
5 exhibitions will introduce Iranian handcrafts, such as hand-woven carpets, home decorations, and much more. Additionally, 1 will be held for construction materials and technical engineering services. This is significant for increasing bilateral relations and trade between the two nations. Government officials also say a direct shipping line has been launched between Iran and Qatar to help with the transportation and distribution of goods.
That wraps up our program for today. Also, if you have a topic that you're interested in, you can send us your thoughts and suggestions via email. We always enjoy hearing from you. On behalf of the entire team, thank you for tuning in and take care. And bye-bye.
ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we will be with you with the explanation of Dua ul-Kumail, the commentary of different parts of this Kumail supplication by the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. We'll be back after you listen to the parts we're going to discuss. Brothers and sisters, we were discussing this part of the Divine Kumail supplication. فَإِنَّكَ قَضَيْتَ عَلَىٰ عِبَادَكَ بِعِبَادَتِكَ You have decreed your worship for your servants. وَأَمَرْتَهُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ You commanded them to supplicate you. وَضَمِنْتَ لَهُمُ الْإِجَابَ And you assured them that they would be answered. فَإِلَيْكَ يَا رَبِّ نَصَبْتُ وَجْهِي وَإِلَيْكَ يَا رَبِّ مَدَدْتُ يَدِي So towards you, my Lord, I have turned my face, and towards you, my Lord, I have extended my hand. As we concluded in the previous episodes, there are some important conditions to be met before the acceptance of supplications. These conditions, these prerequisites, are those that can be found in the different traditions and the different verses of the Holy Quran. We were having a look at the different stories, traditions narrated about these conditions. For example, it is narrated in Manaqib of Ibn Shahr Ashub from the worthy book of Shaykh Tusi that a woman was circumambulating around Kaaba and a man was in the same row. The man stretched his hand toward the woman with an evil intention when suddenly his hand got stuck firmly to the woman's body. As a result, both of them stopped their circumambulation. The agents of law, the law forces, brought them to Mecca's governor and he called on the jurisprudence to issue a verdict about this odd case. All of them ordered to cut the man's hand because of the great sin he had committed beside the Kaaba. Then someone suggested asking the opinion of Imam Hussein alayhi salam before cutting the sinner's hand. Imam Hussein alayhi salam came towards Kaaba and began beseeching to the Almighty until the man's hand was separated from the woman's body. Then Imam alayhi salam was asked, should the sinner be penalized? Imam alayhi salam stated, Why should you punish him while Allah has forgiven him?
Verily, you have ordained for your servants your worship and bidden them to supplicate unto you and have assured them of your response. So, my Lord, I look earnestly towards you and towards you, my Lord, I have stretched forth my hands. Therefore, by your honor, respond to my prayers and let me attain my wishes. And by your bounty, frustrate not my hopes and protect me from the evils of my enemies. from among the jinns and mankind.
Thank you, Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. Feeling the peace all around, seeing things we can never imagine, hearing the sound of rivers flow, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
So, dear listeners, the mercy of the Almighty Allah is like an ocean. It encircles all of us. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has narrated from his father, from his grandfather, that people of Kufa came to Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam complaining for lack of rain and famine. They asked him, "Call upon Allah to send us rain." Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam told Imam Hussein, "Ask Allah for rain." Imam Hussein alayhi salam praised Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then called upon Allah. And he said, "O the bestower of the blessings, O the descender of rain, send beautiful rain for us to save your servants from inability. Amen, O Lord of the worlds." When his prayer finished, it rained heavily. An Arab came from another region of Kufa and said, "I saw so much water in hills and valleys that it was as if the water waved." So we must ask the Almighty Allah, "O Allah, satisfy the thirst of all the people of us." A young man once was passing an alley when he saw a bird on a tree branch. He shot an arrow towards it, but it hit the son of garden's owner and killed him. Some innocent passers-by were arrested from around the garden for the crime. The young man came to the garden and asked, "What's the matter?" He was answered, "Someone shot this boy with an arrow." The young man said, "Bring me the arrow so that I may tell you." Then he said, "I threw this arrow for hunting, but it hit this boy. I am the murderer." The boy's father said, "I know you did it accidentally, young man, but why did you confess to your fault?" The young man answered, "In hope of your mercy, so that you would forgive me because of my confession. Because of my confession, I ask you to forgive me." So the father forgave him. We ask the Almighty Allah, "O the most generous of the generous, we confess to all our sins. In the beginning of this Kumail supplication, we asked you, Allahumma ghfir li adh-dhunub allati tahtiku al-isam. We asked you to forgive every kind of sin. We ask you, we confess to all our sins so that you may forgive us by your indefinite mercy. O Allah, you are the one who satisfied the thirst of all the people. You satisfied the thirst of the people of Kufa with the prayer of your sincere servants. O Allah, grant us the rain of your mercy to clear us the sins from your book of deeds." Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Don't let me go astray, 'cause I need
from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Beijing and its partners reportedly hope to challenge the U.S. dominance of the global communications infrastructure. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Reuters reported, China's largest telecom firms are working on a massive undersea telecommunications cable network aimed at challenging the U.S. dominance in operating global internet infrastructure. Four people involved with the project told Reuters recently. China Telecom, China Mobile Limited, and China Unicom are in the planning stages of what is expected to be a $500 million undersea fiber optic project connecting Asia with the West Asia and Europe, the sources said. The sprawling network known as EMA, Europe, Middle East, Asia, is reportedly intended to compete with another cable system currently under construction by U.S. firm Subcom LLC called CMEWE6, that is Southeast Asia, Middle East, Western Europe 6. Chinese firm HMN Tech, formerly Huawei Marine Networks, was initially selected in 2020 to manufacture the cable for CMEWE6 by a consortium that included the Chinese telecoms now working on EMA. However, a sustained U.S. pressure campaign that included millions of dollars in training grants to foreign telecoms in return for switching their votes ultimately pushed the contract to HMN's U.S. competitor last year, despite significantly higher costs. The three Chinese telecoms have reportedly signed agreements with telecoms in France, Pakistan, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia, with further deals in the works elsewhere in Asia, Africa, and the West Asia region. The consortium hopes to bring EMA online by the end of 2025, the sources told Reuters. The advantages of such a project for China are obvious. One source told Reuters, a faster connection between China, Hong Kong, and the rest of the world not under U.S. control gives Beijing an insurance policy should they be cut off from U.S.-controlled networks. Washington has been campaigning for years to convince allies to exclude Chinese companies from future infrastructure projects. However, Reuters sources said they fear the plan presages a growing division of global internet infrastructure into what a researcher for military-industrial think tank RAND Corporation described as a U.S.-led internet and a Chinese-led internet ecosystem. The more the U.S. and Chinese disengage from each other in the information technology domain, the more difficult it becomes to carry out global commerce and basic functions, RAND's Timothy Hitt told Reuters, warning that forcing third countries to choose between the two sides would make technologies like GPS satellites and online banking much less reliable. Also, according to Eurasian Times, the undersea cables, which carry the vast majority of the world's internet traffic, have become a key point of connection between the two global superpowers, as intelligence agencies can tap into the cables to carry out surveillance. Over 400 undersea cables carry over 95% of all international internet traffic globally, according to data from Tele Geography, a Washington-based telecommunications research firm, as quoted by various reports. These data conduits, which transmit everything from emails and banking transactions to military secrets, are vulnerable to sabotage, attacks, and espionage, Reuters claimed, quoting an unnamed U.S. administration official and two security analysts. The undersea cables have become a new front in the ongoing U.S.-China tech war, became evident in February when two communications cables connecting Taiwan with its Matsu Islands were caught, disconnecting the 14,000 residents' internet, report said on March 8.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies.
31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone.
Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.